In China, wages up, but the stock is down.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. A look right now at the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects the United States. Some factory workers in China are getting a second raise. That's after a rash of suicides at manufacturing plants that assemble electronics sold here in the United States. Of course, workers are happy about another pay hike, but shareholders are not. The company's stock is much lower by 6%. Marketplace's Asia correspondent Scott Tong is with us live from Shanghai. Hi, Scott.
Good morning, Steve.
Now, this factory's been criticized for harsh conditions and low wages. Now we get these pay increases, Scott. Will that change anything for the workers?
Well, the company, which is called Foxconn, says that it is to safeguard the dignity of the workers. So that's their position. This new pay raise increases assembly line wages to about $300 a month. That is, if the workers pass a performance evaluation. This comes on top of last week's 30% raise, which was higher than expected. So it appears wages are going up and up if the company follows through, which is always an important if in China, Steve.
Certainly. Okay, so let's say they do this, Scott. Will it raise the cost of iPhones or these other gadgets made in China?
Well, a bunch of analysts think the China price is going to go up. Today, one of them figured the latest wage hike will dent Foxconn earnings by 10 to 20%. And these people think that the global electronics industry is actually hitting a turning point, that workers are in short supply now in China and that wage hikes will spread across Chinese factories and that these factories are going to try to charge more to the big American brands. Now, that's a big maybe. And whether those brands then pass the increase on to you and me, the consumer, is another big maybe. So whether this is good or bad obviously depends if you're a consumer or a factory worker. Steve.
There you go. All right, Marketplace is Scott Tong in Shanghai. Scott, thanks.
You're welcome.
By the way, Scott spoke to several iPhone workers at that plant a few months ago. For those conversations, you can check out our website, marketplace.org. There's a big corporate meeting going on at this hour in London at the British insurance giant Prudential. Shareholders want to hear from executives about why the company spent more than $500 million on a deal that never transpired. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports. Concerns about European debt are spreading to Hungary, and that has stocks doing the slide once again. We'll get to that Jeremy report coming up in just a bit, but let's do the numbers. Shares in Europe are off more than 1%. Japan's Nikkei lost nearly 4% today. Wall Street Friday, after a disappointing Labor Department report, stocks sank. The Dow was off 323 points to end the week at 99.32. In India today, a court convicted seven former Union Carbide employees of negligence. In 1984, its plant in Bhopal leaked poisonous gas in the area, killing thousands of people. The former employees, many of them in their 70s, face up to 2 years in prison.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at Vanguard.com.
As I mentioned, there's this meeting going on at this hour in London at Prudential, and shareholders want to hear from these executives about why the company spent $600 million on a deal that never took place. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson has that.
When you consider that Prudential was willing to pay more than $30 billion for AIG's Asian operations, maybe $600 million isn't such a big deal.
It's insignificant in a totality of what the acquisition would have meant to them.
Carrie Burcham with the law firm Akin Gump advises companies on mergers and acquisitions. She says the price tag results from all the things that had to be done just in case the deal went through, kind of like getting ready for a wedding.
The food's been bought, it's been prepared, and you've bought the flowers and somebody else bought the flowers, and you know, things are getting done in anticipation for the day.
Except in this case, instead of flowers and cake, it's lawyers, translators, bankers, and accountants preparing for a corporate marriage that fell through. Then there's the breakup fee. Prudential will pay AIG more than $200 million because it backed out of the deal. Chalk that up to lost opportunities for AIG to shop itself around elsewhere and all the costs it had to incur just in case. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Mutual fund companies take into account names when they launch a new fund. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
In Romeo and Juliet, Juliet tells Romeo,
"What's in a name?"
which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet.
Clearly, Juliet never had to name a mutual fund. The name is crucial. Just ask Izzy DeBellis. He works for a New York marketing firm. DeBellis tells clients, pick a name investors can visualize. He mentions a hedge fund named Cerberus. That's the three-headed dog that guards the gates to Hades in Greek mythology. It's quite an image.
That image is of a dog that is guarding something very valuable, and you do not want to mess with that dog. So they're saying that money with us, we're going to guard it as if we were that, you know, three-headed dog, and we're going to protect it.
Les Funtleiter could have used that advice when he was coming up with a name for his new healthcare fund. It's a cross between a hedge fund and a mutual fund. Funtleiter works for the financial services firm Miller Tabak. He'll manage the money. He decided to try naming the fund himself.
It was pretty much me coming up with ideas and using a thesaurus.
Funtleiter bounced names off of colleagues, starting with famous explorers and ships.
Then we went through the classical languages, Greek and Latin and Italian. There were some words there, but most people wouldn't really understand what we were doing.
Then Funtleiter thought, I've got it. We'll name the fund Aperture. You know, like the adjustable opening in a camera. Funtleiter wanted investors to think about new openings, new opportunities. I decided to run that name by some downtown Washington office workers.
I think of playing a woodwind instrument.
Almost like an appendage, a part of something.
That was Aaron Minces and Sharon Gassaway Fontaine. And here's what Kara Elkins thinks about the word aperture.
Like a hole opening.
Hey, great. Throw your money down a hole while playing the clarinet. Not exactly what Les Funtleiter had in mind. Funtleiter's colleagues didn't like the name either. So he settled on this, the Miller Tabak Healthcare Transformation Fund. Boring, but to the point. We'll see what investors think. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.